from KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, progress may or may not have been made on Gulf of Alaska trawl bycatch in the North Pacific Council's meeting in Kodiak. There's some new competition for the Bristol Bay salmon marketplace, and one processor says it'll announce weekly what it's paying fishermen. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
When it comes to trawl bycatch management in the Gulf of Alaska, many members of the fishing industry are concerned about the future for new entrants to bycatch options before the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. Our Alternative 2, which would award catch based on harvesters' historical participation, and Alternative 3, which would allocate the bycatch among catcher boats. Regardless of the pros and cons of each one, people are wary of established harvesters dominating the market. At the meeting in Kodiak, Council Commissioner Sam Cotton proposed an overarching goal and objective statement that includes maintaining opportunities of entry. Cotton says the state's intent is to ensure that future participants have a similar pathway to entry as currently exists. Later, he referenced Kodiak's letter of input to the council.
Kodiak's also made it very clear in their letter that they're not interested in putting up any barriers for new processors. Alternative 2 may do that. The community of Kodiak has also asked specifically for active participation requirements as a gate to entering the fishery.
Cotton mentioned one criticism that some people brought up against Alternative 2, that it would limit new entry. Some say it would make entering the fishery too expensive. Meanwhile, proponents for Alternative 3 say it might open up access to entrants, and those against it say it does little to stop the so-called race for fish. When it came time for comment, Councilman Greg Cross took issue with some of the wording in the statement that the bycatch program should maintain the opportunity for entry by, quote, limiting the duration of harvest privileges that may be allocated, unquote, with regard to target species and or prohibited species.
I'm a little confused because you're being very prescriptive about one particular way to maintain opportunity, and there's many more that we could do. And so I'm just wondering if your intent is to limit it with just that one, or is it an example? But I think we would, as the commissioner and the council, we'd want to have the opportunity to use many things to maintain opportunity.
For instance, loan programs and set-asides, which Cotton said are also viable options, to which Cross responded that they need to do some wordsmithing to make that clear in the statement. Councilman Glenn Merrill suggested an amendment to the motion which altered the language as follows.
The overarching goal of the Gulf of Alaska Trawl Bycatch Management Program is to promote the fleet tools for the effective management and reduction of PSC and bycatch, and promote increased utilization of both target and secondary species while minimizing economic barriers for new participants by limiting harvest privileges that may be allocated, target species and or prohibited species, obtain opportunity for entry into the Gulf of Alaska trawl fisheries.
Cotton's main motion passed with that amendment included and may be subject to public comment in the future. Furthermore, while the council did not decide on a bycatch alternative at this meeting, it did adopt a series of revisions to the alternatives on the table.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
When the North Pacific Fishery Management Council comes to town and meets, they are not alone. Besides staff, there is the advisory panel and the Scientific and Statistical Committee that kick off the series of meetings. While here in Kodiak last week and this, the Scientific and Statistical Committee spoke with the council and defended its idea to start a social science team in order to improve the council's next review of the crab rationalization program. SSC Chair Farron Wallace said the group identified specific issues with its last five-year review.
There's need for a description of active participation by quota holders. There's need to develop methods to characterize how access and upward mobility has changed over time. Data are not able to answer the basic question of how much quota is held by new entrants. And the social impact analysis lacks a way to characterize how the change in the structure of harvesting jobs affects the participants.
Wallace expressed the SSC's dissatisfaction with how reviews have been conducted and suggested the council establish the Social Science Team, or SSC Subcommittee, to help the council better develop its next analysis. The Social Science Team would provide an alternative process for program monitoring and evaluation. It would meet once or twice a year to talk about program evaluation strategies, refinements, and data collection, as well as analytical methods. Wallace said it would be a way to make sure the council wouldn't be in the same situation in another 5 years.
We want individuals on that social science team to identify not only what we're missing in the past, but be able to give us recommendations on future development of a program that can bring forth the types of information we need. And you're exactly right, as often that information fell short of what was needed for the review.
North Pacific Fishery Management Councilman Kenny Downs from Seattle asked about funds the SSC had previously used for its social impact assessment and how it might use the funds to get a different result.
Those funds were used, and that information was in the 3- and 5-year review maybe, but you still didn't much care for that. So how do you see that those reinstating those funds is going to get to what you need to if it didn't get to what you need to in the past? Looking at the document, it occurred to me if those funds were there, the SSC didn't much care for the data in the 3- and 5-year review, so something didn't work.
Wallace suggested the social science team would help figure out what had gone wrong.
The social science team could identify the types of surveys that are needed. Certainly, they have a good handle on the types of surveys that are out there now and have ended. And so we'd be looking to the social science team to better inform the council and the SSC of the types of data that need to be collected for the 15-year review.
Chris Oliver, executive director of the council staff, made a comment that he fears the subcommittee would be some sort of a dream team which would imagine goals that the council has no ability to achieve. Wallace said he sympathized, but said he thinks the subcommittee would pinpoint realistic goals and help the council find a better way to make informed decisions.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
For decades, upon decades, many of the processors in Bristol Bay have been large companies with offices in Washington State or overseas. But two small communities are developing locally owned processing plants. KDLG's Molly Dishner has more.
Bristol Bay's fishing communities have long been dependent on the companies that turn raw fish into a marketable product and get it shipped out of the bay. The communities of Port Hyden and Leavelock now want to take on that role themselves and hopefully keep more of the decisions and the benefits local. Native Village of Port Hyden Business Development Director Adrienne Christensen says the Meshuk Processing Center there should be up and running this summer.
We wanted to start a local tribally owned fish processing plant so that we could create a longer season for our fishermen, also to have our fishermen fish close to home so that they don't have to go all the way up to Ugashik to fish, and to provide them with a higher price for their fish, because we'll be doing direct marketing and have a higher quality product that will mean more jobs and more pay for the fishermen.
Right now, the village is waiting on some freezer equipment ordered from Anchorage. Once it arrives and the fish are hitting, they'll buy up to 10,000 pounds per day. Hopefully, she says, from local fishermen. There's about half a dozen Bristol Bay fishery permit holders living in Port Hyden. Their fish will get sold around the state. Once things really get going, Christensen says the Meshic Processing Center wants to buy during a longer season than typical processors, starting with Kings and staying open through Silvers. They also want to expand and purchase a Japanese freezer system.
We are working on getting that technology, but because it's very expensive, we are getting the funding together to be able to purchase it. The one small freezer system that we want to purchase is over $1 million.
Meanwhile, leave lock packing is probably a year out. Village Council President Alexander Talakpalak says they're waiting on final approval for a $2 million infrastructure grant from the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation. In the meantime, they've been building the plant piece by piece using community block grants for the past 5 years.
All the projects were small projects, but at the end of the day, we're going to have a fully equipped processing plant.
Last winter, the community went to the State Board of Fisheries and asked for more commercial fishing opportunity on the Alagnac River. After BBEDC agreed to help fund it, the board agreed to create a new management plan there, about 8 miles from the village. Leavelock Packing hopes to buy fish from the 5 local permit holders in Leavelock, as well as others from the region who want to fish the new area, including set netters from Dillingham, Iliamna Lake area, and Naknek Quijack. They also think they'll do so during a longer season.
We would be open to shoulder seasons in the beginning and toward the end, which means, you know, we plan to fish before the regular commercial sockeye season, and then we plan to do some fall fishing after the commercial sockeye season. We'd like to do silvers and chums, and that'll keep our fish plant open longer.
Despite the plans for a building and a fishery, Leavelock doesn't know exactly where it'll sell the fish. Talakpalak says a roundtable is planned this fall to work on marketing plans and also figure out what sort of product the plant will sell, whether frozen fillets or something else. For both communities, the plants are part of a larger effort to develop more robust local economies.
Right now, our community is about 70-some people. The majority of us adults here, we all have jobs with the fish plant, with our barge, and with the high tunnel, and some of the small grant projects that we've got here. So, you know, we're all getting a lot of work and a lot of excitement with the fish processing plant.
The Leavelock plant has been in the works for more than 2 decades, and only time will tell if 2017 will finally be its year. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association has a new board president elected last Saturday at the group's meeting in Naknek. It's Mike Fischero of Kodiak, a facilities construction consultant and retired general contractor. Fischero has been a Bristol Bay fisherman for 34 years. For 6 years, he was the financial officer for the Kodiak Public Broadcasting Board of Directors. Also at Saturday's meeting, Larry Christensen was re-elected vice president, and Lane Solberg was re-elected secretary treasurer.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
And that's all the time we have this week. Thanks to KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak and KDLG's Molly Dishner and Dave Benninger in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.